Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the New Testament Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited Me in. I needed clothes and you clothed Me. I was sick and you looked after Me. I was in prison and you came to visit Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The King will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of Mine, you did for Me." This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much. A little bit of advertising this morning as we gather together. As you know, today begins the 5 weeks, an opportunity to take a look at five practices which can guide, strengthen, nurture, and excite our church as we look toward the future. And as a part of that, we will have five interest groups that will meet during this five-week period for short periods of time each week, no more than the 5 weeks. And we need your help in making that happen. I notice as I look at the boards out on the table, we still have some places where we need people to sign up who are willing to present creative ideas, interests, concerns, celebrations as this group meets periodically during these 5 weeks. One of the big ones that needs a lot of help is radical hospitality, today's theme. And I think part of the problem is we take a look at that term as we define it and have defined it for so many years in Tri-Lakes United Methodist Church, and we see hospitality as being food preparation. That is not the case when you take a look at the five practices. Now, when you take a look at the ministry the men and women provide to us in hospitality today in our church, I tell you, it's unbelievable. Behind the scenes work constantly to make things comfortable for you. When we take a look at hospitality as defined by the five practices, it will include that aspect, but it will also include evangelism. And so we need your help on that. If you'd sign up for that, we'd appreciate it. I'd like to have more folks from the 830 congregation as a part of that exciting endeavor. All of the areas are important. Some of them still need a few folks here and there to sign up on those sheets. Take a look at them out there. See where you fit in. Faith development may be your area. Radical hospitality may be your area. There are five of them. Take a look at them and see if you can support that with just a few hours of your time during the weeks ahead. Let us pray together. Lord God, we are just excited to be here today, be a part of this body of Christ, to work together, worship together, care together, and grow together in your name. Your holy word guides and directs this hour of worship as it does all the time that we meet in your name. And we would just ask that as we gather today, as we study your word, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, a teenage boy entered the sanctuary of the church. Not an uncommon practice in most churches just like this one. It was a church to which his parents and younger brother belonged, and they belonged there for a long, long time. In fact, they were there every time the door was open. You know who I'm talking about. I mean, some of us. Every time the door was open, they were there. Well, they were there too much, he thought. He slumped down in the chair about as far away from the altar as possible, just to get away from the crowd if he could. Pulled his ball cap down over his forehead, he dropped his head into his hands and was prepared for a nice, enjoyable nap during the worship service. He didn't know why he was there in the first place. He didn't know why he should even be there. He could sleep more comfortably in the bed. The chairs in the church were not at the greatest places to sleep, except during the time of worship. Well, he didn't want to be there. Church was a drag. It was a religious institution focused on its own survival. It wasn't interested in him or anybody else. I really don't want to be here at all, he said to himself. He was just moving into pre-sleep. Some of you do that. You know how it works. You just don't move into pre-sleep. That's just before it really hits you and the snoring starts. Well, he felt a hand on his shoulder. And he looked up into the face of a woman he didn't know from Adam or Eve. Great, he thought. I must be in her chair and she can have it. I'm going home. But she didn't ask him to move. She simply placed a bag of butterscotch candy in his hand. And she said to him, you know, I'm really so glad you're here this morning. I bought this for you because I heard that you really like butterscotch. I do too. You know, there aren't many of us around anymore who really like butterscotch. Well, he didn't open that bag of butterscotch candy for a long, long time. In fact, he hung it on the wall in his bedroom, right beside his heavy metal posters, right alongside his guitar, and right alongside those poems of emptiness and loneliness. It was a reminder of grace he had not experienced before. This is radical hospitality. What a wonderful story. And it's not so unlike many folks who wander into the church. Some by choice and some by force, and need to experience radical hospitality. The contemporary Christian group Casting Crowns, they're one of my favorites. I know they're yours too. They sing a song, We Are the Body. In fact, we're going to sing that tonight, if I'm not mistaken. And they carry that previous story just a little bit further. The first two verses and the chorus speak of what? A young woman who tries to slip into a worship service unnoticed, but what? Receives all kinds of teasing from the other girls around. And then there's a traveler who sits in the back row. Oh, he has not been here before. He is dressed sort of strangely, not like the rest of the crowd. And he receives the judgmental glances of those who pull their spectacles down and look at him with squinting eyes. And then comes the piercing question of the chorus. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? If we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing that there is a way? There is a way if we are the body. And the theme song of the Casting Crowns is just so wonderful because it moves us right into today's scripture. I don't know if you realize it, but today we're focusing on the last parable Jesus gave as recorded by the gospel according to Matthew. The last parable he spoke before we find the segments which follow, all leading up to the trial, the crucifixion, and resurrection of Jesus. In your spare time, take a look at that particular parable. We call this parable the sheep and the goats, really Jesus' last will and testament for the church and for us. His last will and testament, it's really a legacy to leave for all of his followers, for you and me. Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. When you have done it to one of the least of these, you've done it to me. Hospitality in its most radical sense. You see, when we look at the world through Jesus' eyes, the world becomes a different place and we become different kind of people. If that doesn't take place, then we miss the gospel. When we look at the world through His eyes, we see differently. The Master's words for His disciples and for us are never words of judgment, they're words of grace, of hospitality beyond our imagination. And when you follow Him throughout the Scriptures, you get some great experiences of that. And when we take a look at His ministry, where does He begin His ministry? What better place to begin a ministry than at a wedding? Jesus began His ministry at a wedding? Hey, that's cool. Now, I know as a young pastor, just a few years ago, for me to begin my ministry at a wedding, well, that'd be the last place on earth that I would want to begin. I mean, you get tongue-tied as it is when you're standing in front of people. But at a wedding, my goodness, what if it comes out wrong? What if we do the right ring at the wrong time and the wrong ring at the right time? What if I forget to pronounce them husband and wife? What? I mean, gosh, Jesus began at a wedding. The wedding in Cana of Galilee, the good wine went fast. It always does. You know the brand. It goes faster than any of the other wine. All you have is that cheap stuff. Strawberry Hill. And Jesus interceded, and much to the surprise of the wine steward, jars of water became wine of celebration, and the party continued without a hitch, and nobody knew it in the wedding party. Hospitality and wine. And Jesus began His ministry that way. My servant is lying at home paralyzed and in terrible pain. Terrible pain, explained the centurion, the soldier. I'll come and heal him, Jesus said. I'll take care of that. No, 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 said the soldier. You don't even have to go that far. Just say the word, and my servant will be fine. You talk about faith. Jesus was taken back by this demonstration of faith. Gosh. And he said, go. What you believe could happen has already happened. And at that moment, the servant was healed. Hospitality in a word. Hospitality in wine. Hospitality in a word. And remember the time when the apostles rendezvoused with Jesus? It was a time for study, for very close study and teaching. And Jesus said at the end of it all, why don't we just get away a little bit? We need a little rest and relaxation, a little R&R. We need to be together and just rest and recuperate. So they got in the boat and went off to a remote place by themselves, or so they thought. The crowd found out where they were going, and the crowd followed Jesus and His disciples. And so Jesus took advantage of the opportunity. He said, they're going to follow me. I'm going to teach them. So He spent the day in a teaching-learning situation. And at the end of the day, no one wanted to leave. Everybody wanted to just stay where they were. I mean, there were moms and dads and kids. There were some carrying on and screaming and others having fun. It was just a wonderful kind of a gathering. Jesus said, what in the world are we going to do? We have to do something about dinner. The disciples were concerned about that. What are we going to do for dinner this evening? Don't have any idea at all. And as the hour grew late and the food was of a shortage, Jesus said, do you happen to have any bread, any fish on hand? Yeah. I happen to have some salmon here and some fresh baked bread. 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Jesus said, that ought to be enough for 5,000 people. Let's just divide all the people up in small groups and spread the food around. And everybody ate and was filled. Hospitality in a meal. And Jesus was known for that. One day children were brought to Jesus that he might lay hands on them and pray over them. Well, the disciples shoved them off. You know, children are to be seen and not heard. We don't want them around. After all, in those days, children did not run the home. You know, let them go on and take care of themselves. We don't need them at this point in time. And Jesus said, you hold on. You just hold on a minute. You got to get this straight. You let the children come to me. And don't you ever prevent them from coming to me. Because God's kingdom is made up of people just like these little folks who want to be with me. And after laying hands on them, they left. Hospitality in a blessing. And Jesus does it all the time for you and for me. The parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus defined forever whom Christians are to embrace as their neighbor. And it's so important to us as we look at the future in which we live. Paul echoes the same sentiment as he writes the church at Rome. From the Message translation, we find these wonderful words of wisdom in Romans, the 12th chapter. You bless your enemies, no cursing under your breath, by the way. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy, and share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be a great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. Be a neighbor. Show hospitality. I don't care who it's with. That's your responsibility as a Christian. Murphy Davis tells us about Jesse. You don't know Murphy and you don't know Jesse. Jesse happens to be a man of the streets. He's a homeless man. Murphy happened to meet him in Atlanta, Georgia, while she was serving as a partner in the Open Door Community, a ministry for the homeless. She wrote a little prose after that meeting and after that experience, and this is what she had to say. These are her words, not mine. She said, smiling old man, Baron of Butler Street, we laid ourselves down on the old concrete of that county building. You know where they were, curled up, reaching for the warmth of limb to limb. Hey, he shouted, what are you doing in my bedroom? His laughing rang against the marble front, and everyone heard it. You know, I'm just looking to give you a hard time. You just make yourself at home. He dropped his inebriated bones down, clattering beside me, his slurred chatter sang and dipped. A rough-hewn lullaby rocking us all to sleep. And sleep came hard in little fits and starts, but crashed to a halt as the voice roared above us, here, here, drink this. Groggy eyes took in the steaming sacrament, hot black coffee in white styrofoam cups, the largest cup possible. Plastic lid snapped down, could not repress the friendly steam that came off of the hot brew. Hospitality on the street. I, white woman, I, child of privilege, am welcomed into the space of the poor. I remember, thank you, Jesse. Good night. Hospitality on the street. Radical. Hospitality that touched the life of someone in need. Thank you, Murphy Davis, for helping us understand why we're here today. It's not about being here. It's about being the people of radical hospitality wherever that need arises. So the story goes on. Some years ago, a pastor moved to the South from another part of the nation. That's always a touchy issue if you live, for example, in the North and you move South. I remember doing that during the civil rights era. That was a very touchy time to be there. Well, the pastor met a member of the church for breakfast. And the pastor ordered just sort of a normal breakfast. It was sausage, two eggs over easy, and some whole wheat toast. And when the order came, it was fine, but he noticed some white, grainy kind of stuff on his plate. He wasn't sure if it was instant concrete or something else. He got the attention of the waitress and asked, "Well, what is this, ma'am?" "Those is grits," she responded. Well, he thought for a moment and tried to be polite, and he said, "I didn't order grits." "That's okay," she says, "it comes with breakfast." "It comes with breakfast." Well, she went about her business, but the pastor was still perplexed. "Grits," he mumbled, "grits?" "Ah." And he moved the stuff around with his fork. You know how you do? Just sort of puncturing it a little bit. And when the waitress wandered by again, he looked up and said, "I won't be charged for these things, will I?" Well, she was ready for him. "Honey," she said, you know how they do this in the South. "Honey, you can eat them or leave them. They come with breakfast. You see, the grits are free." There are a few analogies for grace that are more perfect than an order of grits. "I didn't order them. I don't care. They're free. I didn't want them. I don't care. You're going to get them anyway." Grace comes to us as a gift. They're a gift. It's a gift. It is something we do not deserve, something we have not earned, and something we can never repay. It's a gift, pure and simple. Radical hospitality is sharing that same grace with someone else. "I didn't ask for it, but I'm going to give it to you because I'm called by Christ to do it." And your life, like that little boy at the first part of the message, will be changed just as you change the lives of the people you touch. If we are the body, this is our calling. Not just to give grits, but to give a hospitality that will touch the lives of the people we touch with the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.